features for the Access Hour on Monday, April 1st at 7 p.m. I'll be mixing this all-vinyl DJ set live from the studios here at WORT, so if you haven't seen me around town, you finally got a chance to hear what everybody's been talking about. Expect prog rock, ambient, post-punk, and jazz fusion, maybe even a little house and disco. Who knows? Wherever the night ends up taking us, rest assured I'll bring you some rare and obscure gems, deep cuts, and fan favorites, all for your listening and grooving pleasure, of course. Support your new favorite DJ by tuning into Sonic Signatures with me, DJ Slimzy, on Monday, April 1st from 7 to 8 p.m. on the Access Hour, only on WORT 89.9 FM Madison, listener-sponsored community radio.
In Arabic, we once in a while say اللي بتعمله العنزة بالبلوط بيعمله البلوط بجلدة. Translation: what the goat does with the acorn, the acorns do with the goat's skin. It's not a tit for tat, but as the powerful goat eats the helpless acorns to make food out of them, it, in the process, is oblivious to the fact that the acorns are later in time are used to dye the wool of the said goat. Yes, acorns create a dye, a very stubborn dye. They stain stuff. And typically, in places around the world where this proverb is used, when the goat is done giving milk or meat, the wool is never ever thrown out, either as whole wool saved or shaved and turned into yarn that becomes clothing or fiber to make Bedouin tents, or the actual skin itself is leather if you take the wool off. So after the death of said goat, eventual retaliation by the acorns. So just because you're powerful now doesn't mean you can take advantage of or abuse things that could someday come back and bite you. Welcome to Salamat, your weekly tour of Arab and Arab-American issues, culture, food. The food segment is still on break. It'll come back briefly when our attempt to feel the pain or show solidarity with those who are not able to eat in the Middle East, such as the Gazans, due to that starvation situation, we are suspending our food segment. But we still have fun and games and so much more on this very much episode every Sunday. This is Easter. Happy Easter for those of you who are celebrating. Oh, by the way, Monsieur Rowan Atallah, translator extraordinaire, is on assignment today. He is off. He picked the 31st day of March 2024 as the date it takes to do so. This day is also known as the 21st day of Ramadan in the year 1445 after Hijra in the Islamic calendar. Yes, Ramadan started 3 weeks ago and goes through Tuesday, April 9th, or Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. The fissure today, this morning, the time of cutoff, where you can no longer, those observing Muslims who are able-bodied and not suffering from a health issue or menstruating or pregnant or breastfeeding or working a hardship job or traveling under hardship conditions are expected to either postpone to another date, such the fast, or feed a hungry person. Sunset today is at 7:24. So cutoff was 5:21 as the days get longer, and sunset is at 7:24 p.m. Public service announcement or listening or Muslim listening audience. Speaking of listening, we have a musical interlude today. Lana Lubani is the singer, the Holy Land, and asks the where is the point of no return in this CD. It is mostly in English. This is an opportunity for us to feature Arab singers, especially those who bridge the linguistic barrier and sing in English. This is one of them. Let me see if I can do this. This track is called The Snake. We will play this in the background. She says in the success she was garnering on social media and the industry individuals who've seen beyond her pop facade, she felt that for the first time in a long time, as she though was finally impervious to the gussied up shield of commercial genres placed on her as she was put in different things that she did not agree with genre-wise. She let her ironclad guard, lyrically embodying her hybrid existence as well as the multifarious lens through which she navigates life. That's straight from Scene Noise, the musical review of a lot of newer and up-and-coming Arabic music for this generation. You can't escape criticism if you somehow appear to be supporting Palestine. Even an appearance of supporting the Palestinian cause will get someone in trouble, as it happened the case for Louis Vuitton. I guess they are embroiled in a Gaza row over watermelon t-shirt. The pro-Palestinian social media users accused the brand of the opportunistic marketing amid boycott calls, while supporters of Israel slammed the shirt as anti-Semitic because it mentions Palestine. So if you haven't heard yet, the watermelon has become a symbol of the Palestinian struggle, primarily because at one point Palestinians still are. They're not allowed to fly the Palestinian flag anywhere in occupied Palestine. The the West Bank or the Gaza Strip, if it's seen, it'll be taken down. And it's often it triggers additional people doing additional things once you start flying the Palestinian flag. I guess it's very scary. But Louis Vuitton is a French fashion house. Was found itself embroiled in an argument between supporters of Palestine and backers of Israel over an $820 t-shirt. My first question was, who on earth, I know I can't afford, I could buy it, I'll be broke for a while. But there's nothing special. I don't know what makes it so, I guess it's Louis Vuitton. I mean, that in itself could be the expensive tag, price tag. But part of the spring-summer 2024 collection, the t-shirt is a simple white cotton jersey, $820, embellished with a patch featuring the LV logo, you know, of Louis Vuitton, initials in pink, green, and black, which some users have likened to a watermelon slice. Stop it, I said. Stop it right there. So, what if it did? What if they were supporting the cause of Palestine? If that's going to upset some people, don't buy the t-shirt and don't support the brand. But the watermelon, as I mentioned, has long been used as a symbol of resistance by the Palestinians and has witnessed an uptick in popularity in recent months by social media users who use the emoji to indicate their support for Palestine. My kids the other day went to a function, comes back with a t-shirt that has the wedge. And I asked if people know what that means. He said, most people are oblivious to what this means, but I like it. So here he goes. Several users accused the company, Louis Vuitton, one of the world's leading fashion houses or brands, of capitalism on or online pro-Palestinian sentiment to take advantage of those who may have $820 to buy the t-shirt to gain commercially. Commercial ground. So it could be, but I think if, let's assume that the designer in Louis Vuitton was given green light to support the Palestinians, that could be just considered a humanitarian thing. So is it about the money? It could be all about the shekels, as they say. So there you go. Oh, why the watermelon? Yeah, the Palestinian flag has the following colors in it. Green, yeah, a little bit of white, uh-huh, and red, yep, and black, indicating the seeds. So if the Palestinians couldn't draw the flag of Palestine or paint it or fly it, they would paint a wedge of melon, a watermelon. So while the ban... flying the flag or the ban of using the watermelon as such was lifted in 1993 as part of the Oslo Accord, and the symbol of the watermelon remained allowed to fly. So most recently people have resorted to this, using the watermelon, like I said, online to avoid being shadow banned. You know what that is? Yeah. That's when you're banned for doing something on social media. I've been, airing some things that I think are controversial. I'm still waiting to be banned for posting about the Israeli war on Gaza, which has so far killed over 32,000 Palestinians and wounded over 70,000+ Palestinians. So it is not an anti-Israel statement from the designer. It's a matter of a support for those who deem it as support for the Palestinians. So, the brand has not come out to say this is our Louis Vuitton, do Palestine, whatever. And the keffiyeh has done the same thing nowadays. If you wear a keffiyeh, you're accused of doing... supporting the cause, and in some cases it was Rachel Ray, the fashion, the chef, the television cook lady, a few years back. This is before the most recent issues broke out. She had a scarf that resembled. It was not. She's not in any way Palestinian. She is not supporting the cause. She's not a politically active individual. But someone accused her of wearing Palestine Pali garb or whatever you want to call it. Threads. Palestinian threads. On with the show. Yesterday was the Day of the Land for the Palestinians, that is. The Day of the Land is a commemoration and an indication of and a commitment to the loss of land by the Palestinians. Every year on March 30th, Palestinians observe this day, Land Day, or Yom al-Ard. Say that 10 times. That's Yom al-Ard. Yom, just like the Hebrew, Yom is day. Al-Ard, the land, is a recollection of the events of March 30th, 1976, when six unarmed Palestinians were killed and more than 100 injured by Israeli forces during a protest against Israel's confiscation of Palestinian land. So why is it this selected day? As I said, it was the Palestinians were not taking it lightly, being under occupation and the continuation of land theft from under their feet. Palestinians marked this day by holding vigils and planting olive trees as part of the resistance to the Israeli occupation. The 2,000 hectares of land that was stolen. Oh, by the way, it's that when Israel ordered the confiscation of 2,000 hectares, it was as large as New York City, a big chunk of London, UK, quite a bit of Tokyo, Japan, and almost as big as Lagos, Nigeria, roughly. So this is it's still happening today. So conversion here, 2,000 hectares are 4,942 acres of land. This was the what the Palestinian citizens lost in the Galilee. This the plans were part of the Israeli state policy to turn the Galilee into a Jewish-only enclave following the creation of the State of Israel in 1948. The confiscation land is roughly the size of 3,000 football pitches, or the area from the tip of Manhattan to Central Park in New York, roughly. So, Palestinians, both inside and outside of Israel, and across the occupied territory, mark this day by holding protest and vigil and planting, like I said, trees and fly the flag. So in the occupation's face, and Israel has continued to seize land beyond that day, and it turns them into military zones or state land or other labels. And so, and most of the time, they eventually become land for marked for Israeli illegal settlements in occupied Palestine. Most recently, as late as March 22nd, 2024, Israel Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich declared Israel was seizing 800 hectares, which is 1,977 acres, in the occupied West Bank, in a move that would facilitate building more illegal settlements to the existing ones. So he said that at the time he felt that, quote, "While there are those in Israel and in the world who seek to undermine our right to Judea and Samaria," that's what they call the West Bank, and the country in general, "we promote settlement through hard work and strategic manner all over the country." That's what he said, using the biblical names for, like I said, the West Bank. "Settlements are illegal under international law and are Jewish-only communities built on Palestinian land in the occupied West Bank and East Jerusalem." And now it appears that that might be the case with Gaza too, as plans are on their way to establish more settlements in Gaza. Some say it's rumors, but many people are expecting this to be a reality with this ultra-right-wing government headed by, coalition government headed by Mr. Netanyahu. On March 6, the Israel Settlement Planning Authority announced that it had approved the construction of some 3,500 new housing units in existing Ma'al Adumim and Qaidar and Efrat within the occupied West Bank. If you look at a map of the West Bank, it looks like a Swiss cheese. Mostly the little holes are Palestinian locations, isolated by large swaths of land that had been taken over or being built, and illegal Israeli settlements and outposts are in place. And the army does two things. They protect the settlers, and they enable the settlers to destroy Palestinian property, which we have reported on this show regularly. Earlier this month, the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, Volker Turk, said settlements had expanded by a record amount and risked elimination of any possibility of the Palestinian state. Mr. Netanyahu said there will be no Palestinian state. This is an additional reason for them to, for the Israelis to use the fact on the, or the, this is what's happening on the ground. Deal with it. We're not going to get out. This will never be Palestine. So Saturday, March 30th was Earth Day, Yom al-Ard for the Palestinians. It is end of the month, and Arab American Heritage Month starts tomorrow, and that's no April Fool's. The National Arab American Heritage Month starts tomorrow. This is, you know, in a way where the Arab American Foundation had formally recognizes Arab Americans' achievements by commemorating the National Arab American Heritage Month, the NAHM. This year, quote, the theme is celebrating Arab American resilience and diversity within the community. So across the country, cultural institutions, school districts and municipalities, state legislatures, public servants and nonprofit organizations issued the proclamation and engage in social events commemorating our community's rich heritage and numerous contributions to the American society. So the President of the United States, by the way, recognizes this month, and I hope he, you know, with knowing Mr. Biden, he's going to throw a dinner party tomorrow and invite all the Arabs, but he's going to do it at 4 p.m. where, you know, he knows that most of the Arabs are Muslims and possibly fasting. So there you go. I just kid, you guys. I don't want you to think I have something against Mr. Joe Biden. El Presidente Joe Biden. So what are they doing? I guess... In some states, they're seeking recognition for permanent legislation designating April as National Arab Month. So the co-founder of the Arab American Foundation, Warren David, understood that, quote, this initiative celebrate Arab Americans' significant contributions across various sectors, from public service to the arts. Yay! Go arts, I say. Speaking of arts, have you ever seen henna? Henna, like, you know, henna being painted on hands. Have you? Well, they're from over there. It's hard to define when, where, and how henna started, but in some cases it is. It goes into India, Pakistan, the Near East, and the Middle East, and... worldwide recognition now. The globe understands what henna is, and you know, there it's a heritage that has taken on, though the process is similar throughout many different countries, from North Africa to the Middle East, but the particular designs, and you know, ranging from locally inspired to historically used plant and trees and such. You'll notice that there are no depictions of people, most of the henna drawings are primarily fun-loving, easy stuff, repeated patterns. I don't get involved in the drawing of henna, but I've seen people do that. And if you look up the word henna as a cultural allure, you'll see that it's not viewed in, let's say, in Morocco, it's not viewed as long-term as a tattoo. And some places in the Middle East still hold that the tattoo is a more permanent and it's unacceptable society-wise. There's still, you have to be quite the renegade to wear a tattoo if you're growing up or being raised in the Middle East. In conclusion, then, as we navigate the complexities of contemporary existence, let us not forget that the timeless allure of henna, a tradition steeped in beauty, symbolism, and healing across generations and continents. Henna continues to bind us together, not in a way trying to say it's ours and not ours, but there it is. There are a lot of artists in the Arab American community, and some are being recognized. And let me find this story for you. This is from the Arab American News reported on the local artist who was presented with an art and culture award by the Lebanese Ministry of Culture. And he's in Dearborn, and during an exhibition showcasing some of his work, international artist Harut Ishaq Bastajian was presented with the Art and Culture Award. The Lebanese artist of American ethnicity, it is a local organization. Apparently, the exhibition included pictures of this gentleman's work and a number of mosques in Lebanon and other Arab foreign countries. He was unable to attend the ceremony, but he was awarded to it in absentia. His son Ishaq delivered received the award and delivered it to dad. So this gentleman's work is all over the place, particularly in buildings and mosques, churches, etc. It's quite impressive. On the radio I can talk all day about it, but nothing like seeing it in public. Speaking of public, one of the things that Palestinians and Arabs in general, and many Muslims from Muslim countries around the world, feel that their efforts to celebrate the month of Ramadan has been muted. So as death and destruction in Gaza left local Muslims little to celebrate during Ramadan this year, and the Eid follows. At the conclusion of Ramadan, there's an event called the Eid, a festival, all about eating. 4 days of breaking the fast, and it's called Eid al-Fitr, the holiday of no more fasting. From new fundraisers to event cancellations to extra reflection, Ramadan looks especially different this year for many. The Ramadan suhoor itself, as it used to be held in, as a suhoor is the last meal you have in the evening or in early morning before you go to bed or work. In some cases, it's a bit of both, working while sleeping. This is the festival itself in Dearborn usually attracts thousands of people to the Fair Lane town center. But the founder, Hassan Shami, said that he canceled the event this year because he didn't think it was in good taste. And then there is no joy to justify the event. He didn't feel like he wanted to do that. And Wayne State student Jenna Dudar attended the festival in previous years and said that he agrees with the decision to cancel it because it was very festive and it was all about food. And like we said, we're taking the food segment off the air for a couple of days until we find a resolution to the Palestinians in Gaza. Ladies and gentlemen, look at that. It's 6:30. You have reached the bottom of the hour, or at least 6:30. And this is our time to say, as we say in Arabic, Assalamu alaikum, peace upon you. You've been listening to the Pekram, to the Salamat radio. Right here, got me all confused. Stay tuned for the Pekram Parade. Kid-friendly music from the kids down the street. Until next week, I bid you farewell by saying in Arabic, Assalamu alaikum, peace upon you.
Oh, the aim of our patrol is a question rather droll, for to march and kill over field and hill is a military goal. Is a military goal. Up, 2, 3, 4, dress it up. 2, 3, 4, by the ranks or single file, over every jungle mile, over stamp and crush through the underbrush.
Game of the 2024 Madison Roller Derby season is on Saturday, April 6th in the arena at the Alliant Energy Center. This month's matchups are Reservoir Dolls versus Unholy Rollers and Vixens versus Quad Squad. Doors at 5 p.m., skates hit the track at 6 p.m. Tickets can be purchased online at madisonrollerderby.org/tickets or at the door. The final home game of the 2024 Madison Roller Derby season is